Support for this podcast comes from Format. Format provide award-winning careers websites to employers such as View, Atkins and Muller. Working with Format can help you attract and engage higher numbers of better quality applicants. They get these results by their complete focus on the candidate experience, fantastic technology that enables long-term passive candidate engagement, and seamless integration with your ATS. For more information and to get in touch for a free review of your career site, please go to www.format.com/podcast. Format is spelt with a number 4, then M-A-T. The web address again, www.format.com/podcast.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 24 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Over the last few years, an increasing number of employers are developing apprentice schemes to address long-term skill shortages in their industries. One company who are doing this very successfully are Compass. My guest this week is Melanie Hayes, Head of Organisational Development for Compass, who shares some insights on what Compass is doing in this area. Hi everyone, and welcome to another Recruiting Future podcast interview. My guest this week is Mel Hayes from Compass. Hi Mel, how are you?
I'm good, thanks Matt.
That's cool. Could you sort of introduce yourself to everyone, tell us a little bit about your background and what you're doing for Compass?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am currently the Head of Organisational Development at Compass Group, which covers resourcing, learning and development, talent, doing some work around diversity, and then some other kind of bits that I think nobody else picks up, but exciting. Big company. Compass is, or employs 60,000 people in the UK. We are a FTSE 30 company. So, and we're also going through a massive period of growth. So it's a really, really exciting time at the moment in the organisation.
Okay.
And prior to that, I started my career in retail. So I'll just give a very brief overview. Started my career in retail and then I moved into recruitment. So made quite a tactical decision, which I think is unusual. And I've held a couple of roles as heads of resourcing, head of resourcing and talent. And each of those roles, I've always gone into organisations to build resourcing teams or restructure resourcing teams so that they are delivering direct sourcing, improved quality, etc.
Cool. Okay. Thanks for the overview. Now, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, but one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk to you on this podcast was the work that Compass have been doing with apprentices. Could you tell us a little bit about your apprentice strategy and what you've been up to in that kind of area?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is one of the things that I am probably most proud of when it comes to my team. The young people agenda as a whole is really, really important to Compass, and we put a lot of effort in, even down to employing an early careers manager. And so his role within that is to cover things like work experience, how we are getting children or kids school age to understand about careers within food services or FM. And following on from that, we do a huge amount of work around our apprenticeship programs. So if I'm saying I was delighted to be a part of our apprenticeship graduation this year, where we graduated 542 apprentices.
Wow.
So really exciting. And it covers a number of things. So we do anything from our functional roles. We have a very specific chef academy, which really enables young people to get good quality training within food service, and not necessarily restaurants, but actually that could take them up to Michelin star quality. We had one of our apprentices this year who won the National Apprentice of the Year.
Okay.
And we are looking over the next few years to significantly increase the number of apprentices that we're putting through the program on an annual basis We also deliver our own qualifications, so we draw down funding and do a lot of the work ourselves, just because we think it's really important that we get some of these things right.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. I mean, do all these people kind of go on to careers in the company? Is that the sort of next step after the apprentice graduation?
Yeah, well, that's the plan. So when we bring them on board, we hope then to place them into roles within the organisation. Some of our apprentices that completed the Chef Academy have all gone into chef to party roles, which is kind of, we'll take them on their journey. And we're doing some work around career pathing, actually, which helps them to understand that what the apprenticeship can give them in the longer term. So lots of opportunity. We're going through a significant period of growth in the business, and it's really exciting. So actually that opens up even more opportunity for these young people.
Fantastic. And what do you think the sort of value is to your business of putting so much effort into apprentices? Is it purely a kind of a future talent initiative, or are there other things that you think the business benefits from, rounding this?
I think there's a significant part of it for us covers future talent. We're in an industry, and I've worked in previous food service and FM organisations, so I kind of understand the challenges across the industry, or the sector, should I say. And I don't think schools do enough around vocational careers. So there's lots of conversation around academic careers and not really enough around vocational. And so what this enables us to do is to help people to understand what it's like to work in a contract catering environment. It helps them to understand what career progression. We are filling a pipeline, if we're honest. You know, we have a growth plan that's exciting, but also a little bit scary from a recruitment perspective. I have to give you one example alone. That there's been some major contract wins in our business, and we are looking for one contract alone in the next 12 months to recruit 220 chef managers. And that's just one contract win.
Okay.
So to start focusing on building a pipeline that supports a number of other channels, of course, is really important. And actually not only that, we do a lot of work with the education sector. Chartwells is one of our big, sectors within the organisation, and to be able to work with some of those schools and colleges that are also our clients, it's not bad. It's good for business as well. But I think predominantly we just are really focused on making sure that we're giving support, whether that comes from work experience programmes right the way through to our graduates.
And how do you sort of find and select your apprentices? What what sort of process or methodology or strategy do you use to get the right people on the program?
So we use a couple of methods. We use some internal methods. So for example, when we've had people coming through work experience programs with us, we offer them the opportunity to go for the apprenticeship programs. We have people that have joined us as part-time employees that show an interest in wanting to progress their career. And again, they go through the selection process. And we also do some external advertising where we're going out and we're working with schools and colleges. And actually, we're working with other third-party providers. So we work with Springboard. We work with BITC. We do work with a number of other kind of third parties. And we go to things like the Big Conversation, which just helps to raise awareness about what we do.
And how do the kind of the candidate expectations differ from the kind of experienced hire recruitment that you do? What differences are there?
We in the main, I mean, our apprenticeship programs go 16 to 24 year olds. So, but in the main, you've got people with very little work experience, and so I think you have to do much more of a sell on the business and an opportunity. I do think apprentices are really interesting because location can cause issues. So actually, we have a number of apprenticeship opportunities in central London, and central London always appears to be much harder to recruit for.
Okay. And imagine that's to do with travel and all those kind of things, is it?
Yeah, I think that adds to it. And we're not an organisation that pays the apprenticeship rates, so apprenticeship rates are quite low.
Okay.
And I know they're intending to put those up, and actually we don't. We pay more.
Okay.
So, you know, we hope that makes it a much more appealing package, so to speak.
So you kind of mentioned the, you know, apprentices in the catering services sector, which is obviously where you guys are working. I mean, more broadly, do you think every company should have an apprentice strategy, or is it only appropriate in certain sectors?
No, I think everybody should look to do it. I think it's important. You go to lots of events and you hear lots of people talking about skill shortages.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really important that we all then commit to the future. And I know this requires investment for a lot of companies, but if we're not helping to support a pipeline, then the skill shortages are just going to get, it's going to get harder.
Yeah, absolutely. And what advice would you give to a company sort of looking at their strategy here, or looking at doing this for the first time?
I would always go with a case study example. So I would always just think about an area where you can add some value, where actually the individual gets the opportunity to see the job properly, but you can give that person time. So you need to give your apprentice time.
Okay.
Which I don't think everybody understands fully. So, you know, so I think you need to give the commitment to people.
Okay, thank you. And it's sort of stepping out into kind of the wider, you know, recruitment market. How are you? You know, what's it looking like at the moment? How are you finding it? Is it easier to recruit at the moment? Is it harder to recruit at the moment? What's what's sort of changed over the last 18 months or so?
I think it's getting harder. I think salaries appear to be going up. So I think there's more negotiation when we get to offer. We've had more people counter-offered than I think I've seen in a few years.
Okay.
I think on the flip side of that, though, we're starting to see more movement. So that generates a better quality of candidate. I'm not sure that's the right way to put it, actually. I just think more choice, should I say.
Yeah. And are you sort of noticing any changes in candidate expectations or behaviour, or where you're finding them? Is that changing as well?
I think in some, not in all actually, but in some cases, our candidates are becoming much more demanding.
Okay.
And interestingly, we've worked on a few senior roles recently and some mid-level roles whereby I think historically, if you've given kind of several options and interview dates, people have tried to make it work. I think there's so much opportunity going on for people, and people are out with other companies, that getting candidates into process sometimes is harder.
Yeah, okay.
And it used to be getting hiring managers into process was harder.
Okay, so it's kind of sort of a complete flip from 2 or 3 years ago. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. And, you know, what's next for, what's next for Compass? What's on your radar at the moment? What are you looking at over the next sort of 12 to 18 months?
So it's really exciting for us. I joined the company in January, and we've gone through a restructure. So we've reorged our resourcing function to support the business. We've had 5 years of kind of no growth, and this year massive growth. So the structure that we've put in place is there to help support the growth, and actually we've created a scalable model, which is exciting. So we've spent the last kind of 7 months looking at process and kind of getting back to basics. And next year, I think for us, is some real focus on how we're taking it out to market. So what's our brand? We have so many different businesses within the Compass family. How are we going out and promoting those? And I'm also focusing on how we're educating our recruiters. Matt, you'll know this because I think I've talked about this quite a lot, but I have a real passion for us actually doing something with recruiters to help them develop. And yep. I don't think there's enough out there.
Okay.
So I'm using a couple of products at the moment, and we're testing a few things out, but that's with a view to making our recruiters better at sourcing.
Cool, fantastic. Mm. I mean, I suppose that kind of leads on quite nicely to my final question, which is about trends and tools and technologies and you know, what's kind of happening in the industry. I mean, what are you sort of looking at the moment? What trends do you think are interesting? You know, what tools and technologies do you think might develop? You know, as we sort of go through the rest of this year and next.
So. At Compass, because we've been doing a lot of work around putting the basics in and getting the basics right, I think we're just starting to focus on different technologies. I think the ATS that we've got is good and it works well, but we're thinking about what we're linking in with that. So for me, it's around, in some roles, we've got a huge volume of applicants, so we're looking at ways that we can help the resourcing process to auto-screen through various kind of tests, online tests that are kind of linked through. We're looking at video interview at the moment, so we're just about to do a trial with a number of roles that cover some of our volume, and then just some other tools that are really there about to help the recruiters with sourcing, which I think I've already mentioned. So
cool, it sounds like a very exciting time. Mel, thanks very much for talking to me.
Lovely, thanks Matt.
My thanks to Mel Hayes. For show notes and past episodes of the podcast, please go to www.rfpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to the mailing list there and find out more about me on the Work with Matt Alder page. You can, of course, subscribe to the podcast itself on iTunes and on Stitcher. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.